You're listening to The Secret Stage, a Scarlet Rhapsody podcast. Everyone, welcome to the Secret Stage. We are back. It is Sunday. That means it's Secret Stage time, and we got everyone here. Ramses, how you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you for asking.
Miguel, how you doing?
Great.
All right, and I too am doing pretty good actually. What my old friends used to say, not too shabby, not too shabby. So without further ado, let's get on to what we've been playing. Miguel, we always begin with you because you're a stream dude.
Alright. Well, I am right now going to be playing DLC Quest for our stream for tonight. And what I've been playing during the week, well, I've been playing some World Domination because it's out on iOS at the moment. I don't know if it's out on Android.
I'll check my tablet when I have the chance, and maybe I'll put it on and rock it. I get back to LA.
I actually saw a big old ad for it on the App Store. So it's like they're getting some traction.
Yeah. What?
It's all because of our show.
Yes, it is.
Exactly.
We're awesome.
Yep. So I've been playing that, playing World Domination. Been playing a lot of Castle in the Darkness, but I just recently finished up most of the quests already for it. I've also been playing a game called Banzai Pecan, and I was also playing a game called You Have to Win This Game, which is a freeware game on Steam, so go ahead and pick it up, everybody.
Hey, you told me about that, and then I totally forgot the title of the game. I will grab it as soon as the show is over.
It's free.
You must win the game?
Very good. Yeah. You have to win this game.
Okay, you have to win this game. Okay, there he goes. Okay. Keep going.
Is that all my go?
That's what I've been playing at the moment right now.
All right. Ramses, you were our second stream guy because you took over Saturday's stream. What have you been playing?
And if you haven't noticed from the Secret Chase stream, I've been playing a lot and an ungodly amount of Monster Hunter 4. I think that's gonna be the main theme for the next couple of months. Actually, I was gonna say a couple of weeks, no, a couple of months. And one of the interesting things that came out of that stream is that people were interested in an independent stream altogether of Monster Hunter. Mm-hmm. So I'm putting it out there right now for those of you listening to the podcast. It's on Twitter right now, but I'll give you guys a link so you can put it on the show notes. And that is, if anybody's interested in doing a separate stream of just Monster Hunter 4 with me, we'll pick a date, and we'll pick a time after we pick the date, and then we'll have ourselves like a Monster Hunter 4 day where we grind out and get ourselves leveled up.
That'd be awesome.
Other than that, I've been playing a little bit more. I've been playing a little bit more Left 4 Dead with those guys. There was a mod we were playing, and it's actually really interesting. It's the Helm's Deep mod.
No, really?
it's what you think it is. Basically, it's basically Helm's Deep. Mm-hmm. But instead of orcs, you're fighting on hordes of zombies. And it just doesn't help. That's like, it gets to a plateau where it's like literally, it's just gonna be pure tanks coming right at you.
Well, I mean, the Battle of Helm's Deep literally was like foot soldiers and more powerful foot soldiers. Now the heavy artillery starts coming in, dragons and stuff start coming in, and then a bunch of trees saves everybody. Yay, trees.
Yeah, so...
Oh, spoiler for a book that's like 70 years old.
And other than that, just I've just been playing a little bit more of Pokemon Shuffle. I like the fact that I can play that game in a shitter and do it, like, that's about it. Like, by the time I'm done taking a shit, I'm already done playing it. And that's the kind of game I kind of want a game like that to be.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of wish that they found a way to make a Tetris game like that, because I do Ben Jonesing for a really good Tetris game right about now.
Yeah, but the problem is Alexei does not like Nintendo too much. So, good luck with that.
Yeah.
But I've been playing Pokemon Shuffle as well, and that game is unnecessarily addictive.
Yeah.
I'll brag about my exploits when I get to my section. But continue.
And I'm holding in my hand my newest amiibo. I actually went out and brought Sheik.
No, like, you and Miguel are catching up on your amount of Zelda characters.
Well, it's just like, I just wanted some of the Fire Emblem characters or Mega Man or Sonic, and it's just pissing me off when I see everybody like, hey, I found my Sonic, hey, I found my Mega Man, this and that, blah, 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 and I was like, I got Sheik. She's cool. Right?
She is.
Okay, thank you.
She has a hook shot. That's pretty, pretty sweet.
So to be honest, she's like the least derpiest of all the amiibos.
I'm fine.
She actually looks like, to be honest, if you're looking for something that's well sculpted and well painted, mm-hmm. that's your best bet. Like, by far, if you're looking for, like, your two best bets, if you want like the most least amount of derpiness and least amount of like and most amount of like sculpt and like color,
mm-hmm.
you're either gonna pick up Kirby or you're gonna pick up Sheik.
I totally want Kirby. Kirby can hang out with my little Idolmaster figures. It'll be awesome. Kirby
with,
Master.
Zelda thing, I'd pick Sheik just so that way I have my Zelda figures.
Well, yeah, you're trying to get the whole Zelda collection. And you are basically have everything at this point. That's been released. Or not. Which one is it?
Well, we'll get to it in the news, because there's some news that's involving that. I think I'll put that into my section of the stuff, because there is some amiibo news.
Okay. Guess we'll move on to me. My week has been very comic book heavy, so not as much gaming as normal, but I've been playing a lot of JoJo All-Star Battle, slowly going through campaign mode. God, there's a lot of alternate colors and alternate outfits to unlock. In addition to that, I've been playing Pokemon Shuffle, because while I didn't expect this game to be addicting, it totally is.
Oh yeah, that's what I forgot to mention too. I was playing Pokemon Shuffle as well.
It is really addicting. Thus far, I've completed 50... of the main missions, are 51 of the main missions. I've S-ranked all but one of them. I've beaten one of the expert missions. I've already collected Mew, and I've collected a couple of the Rotoms from the Rotom event that is still ongoing, so you can still collect the Rotoms, though the Mew event should be over by the time this podcast is posted. So yeah, I've been playing that a lot and been dominating it pretty well. I'm good at these kinds of puzzle games. It's the timer ones that really throw me off, because you can see me on one of the puzzles taking, like, 10 minutes so I can get that S rank by doing some really good combinations. You see me on like the timer ones, I start freaking out. I'm like, my brain is like, no, I need time to plan. Can't do this fast stuff. Stop. Clock, go slower. Like,
for those advanced ones, would your basic supposed to be supposed to go with a little bit more of a higher rank with like higher level Pokemon? Because like the effectiveness of their abilities do add up over time.
Yeah. Well, that's how I was able to get Abzel. And I A-ranked the Abzel mission, too, so... I did decently on that, because all my... whatever the heck beats Dark, I've gotten pretty good. But other than that, I did kind of some import playing. I played Marmalade Boy for the Game Boy. I was rocking that during our stream on Saturday, and I totally want to stream this game. It is not that long to go through it. It isn't completely in Japanese, and you can hear me make my commentary and jokes about a franchise that you've probably never read or watched. In addition to that, I played a little bit of the original Super Robot Wars, which was also a Game Boy game. The very light on story of this one. The missions take a bit longer than expected, but it's kind of cool because you can choose if you want to begin with the Gundam characters, the Mazinger characters, or the Getarobo characters. I tried using the Gundam characters and was getting my butt kicked, so I began with the Mazinger ones. They're a bit more balanced, but you get fewer. It's basically you get a lot of Gundam characters, but they're not that strong, a medium amount of Mazinger characters and their medium strength, or really powerful Getarobo characters, but you only get like three of them. because obviously there's not a lot, not as many characters in there. Plus, one of them's Texas Mac, and you know you can't say no to Texas Mac. Ugh, freaking Texas Mac. Well, anyhow, and then the last one I played was Macross 7 for the Game Boy Color, which is a pretty
decent. They made a Macross 7 for Game Boy Color. What?
Yeah, and it's a pretty decent like space shooter. But what? I can't beat the boss of the second level because basically you have the choices of using the music-themed characters or, like, the pilots. So with just using the regular pilots, when you get to a boss fight, you're just shooting your guns at them, and, you know, boss life bar goes down really slowly, even at really high-powered up. If you play the music characters...
I gotta find this game now, because my favorite Macross out of all of them is 7, and it's like, I gotta play
really?
As a fan... Yes, you want to challenge me? I have
speakers
my
speakers
right
in
now.
Space, Bossera.
I will
hop really?
On you right now.
What's his face's giant head? Dude, don't get me started on Macross 7 and how stupid Macross 7 is.
Okay, so guys, Anime Talk is reserved for
Charles. Anyhow, if you're playing as the music themed characters, if you play as Bossera, Max's daughter, or the drummer, when you do the boss fights, it's like this rhythm game thing that I still haven't figured out how to do. But I think if you complete the rhythm game thing, it's actually easier to beat the bosses because that actually goes along with the story of the retarded speakers in space. The game is fully in Japanese, but the choices are like, oh, do you want this type of ship, or this type of ship? And just with, you know, restarting the level, you'll figure out which ship is which and what one you like most. And everything else is fairly easy enough to figure out what you're doing. The only thing you're going to miss out are the story things that you get based on whatever characters you chose. So, and that's the only main little problem with there. But if you don't care about the story, it's a decent space shooter. And if you can figure out the rhythm game, you can probably beat the bosses. So, that's been my lineup. Yes, Ramsey, check it out. Tell me what you think about Macross 7 GBC.
I will, as a matter of fact. So, I'm busting at the... at the scenes right now, ready to try this.
And if you figure out the rhythm game boss battle thing, tell me how to do that, because I do want to get further in the game, but when I'm getting my butt kicked trying to figure out how to do a rhythm game thing, it's not quite as fun.
I don't blame you. Anyways.
That was generally my playlist this week. Like I said, lots of comics, and if you were listening to our Saturday stream, you heard me go on and on about comics, so not going to do it here. Anyhow, time for the news. News. It's my... Week news theme. Okay. Before we begin, I just want to say that, you know, with GDC and PAX East, you'd think there'd be some really, really interesting releases or announcements. Nope. Just a lot of BS opinion articles and a lot of, like, this developer said this and this developer said that. And, oh, shut up, developers. Just get your butts back to work and make me a good game. I'm tired of this opinion article BS. I actually want my gaming news to be real gaming news. That being said, there were a few stories, sort of, this week that you might find interesting. The first of which is Square Enix has put up a survey, I think, on their website that asks fans what directions they want them to move in the future. Would like to point out that about a year ago, they released a Kingdom Hearts survey, and Kingdom Hearts 3 totally came out. Oh, no, it still hasn't come out. Still a long time in development, and we'll maybe eventually see it some point in the future. Haley Joel Osment's gonna be dead by the time they do it, so you have to replace Sora's voice. It's gonna be a real pain in the ass.
To be fair, they did reissue 1 and 2, like, not in about a span of that time.
I kind of do want the HD remixes. I have to admit that. I have a Disney...
I'm not kidding,
fan.
I want those two so bad.
I live with the Disney fan, and I'm like, if the Disney fan is sitting there with, like, the fact sheet open to tell me where all the side quests and secret items are, I'll play through it, have someone else read the spoilers so I don't have to get spoiled on any story stuff, and tell me, like, oh, you want to go over there? There'll be, like, a secret boss that'll get you an item. And they'll go, oh, God, the secret boss is a pain in the ass. Because that's my memory of Kingdom Hearts 1. That secret boss is a pain in the ass. And there's a lot of random secret bosses who are a pain in the ass.
Was it someone else? I know Sephiroth was a secret hidden boss.
I never got far enough in the game to take on Sephiroth. But I know there's a couple other, like, side bosses who are just annoying. But,
you were just talking about the death and the death at the, you know, death and the other, and the weapon, the, I think, the Atma weapon at the Colosseum.
Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. Anyhow,
yeah,
like I said, this might have a good influence on Square Enix. Who knows? So, if you're a Squeenix fan, you can go and do your Squeenix survey. Speaking of things that have major fanboys, Sega has announced that they're going to be doing some project of Game Freak, but it was just a tease, and they're not going to have their full announcement until March 11th, which unfortunately is after this podcast is being recorded. Bear in mind, we will talk about this next episode, unless it's really stupid. Then we're just going to facepalm and move on with life.
It's like, they're doing Sonic Boom 2. It's like, okay, we're done.
Oh, really. Hideo Kojima says that Metal Gear Solid 5 is the last one, and this time he's super duper for realsies, means it, underlined 6 times, circled with a big sparkly marker with a big shiny star next to it. He really, for serious, means this is the last Metal Gear for serious.
It's what he said about Metal Gear Solid 2.
And 3.
And Metal Gear Solid.
And 4.
And Phantom Pain.
And Peace Walker.
Yeah, so... Yeah, well, yeah, as long as these games make money, they're going to keep making Metal Gears. However, I think this is time for Kojima to reboot Snatcher. Just saying.
Well, or make more Zone of the Enders.
Hell yes, yes. Oh, by all means, more Zoe.
I've been patiently waiting for, Zone of the Enders 3 to come out.
Yeah, Zone of the Enders, the third runner.
I was going to say, that would be a good time to dust off that Snatcher license.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, I played it recently. I was like, this game still holds up if they had like the right like controls and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
This game would be totally awesome on like the 3DS or something. Like
that. I wouldn't mind to see him tackle a completely different genre as well. Like, can you imagine like a like a Hideo Kojima like? Oh, I was gonna go for an RPG, like a JRPG style game, but it's just Kojima storytelling and like the over the top cutscenes. Be amazing.
The closest you're gonna get to that is SD Snatcher for the MSX.
Huh.
That is actually like a turn-based RPG using Snatcher that he like did after Snatcher the for the MSX.
Okay. Well, you'll have to show me more about that when we get there. But
yeah,
the release date.
Like I said, that's I'm just waiting for the day that Kojima is gonna just make like a sports game.
That'd be amazing though.
Sim game.
I wanna,
he'll do a winning 11 2016. It's like, it's practically his because it's on the Fox engine. Now I'm thinking about it.
That's just a graphics engine. That doesn't mean his team's working on it. But
yeah.
I want to see Kojima make like a cricket game. But I want it to have like a really in-depth storyline and over-the-top cutscenes. Like it needs to have both of those.
It has this metaphysical, story about, what does it mean? What does it truly mean to play cricket?
To play wrong baseball, as we Americans call it. But going back to Metal Gear Solid 5, its release is set for September 1st for the consoles, and I believe 2 weeks late after that for PC. Collector's Edition will run you $100. It will only be for the next-gen systems.
Yeah.
And here's, the list, and I'll try to get through it as quickly as possible because there's a lot of stuff, so I'm going to condense certain things. Half-scale...
Let's talk about the DLC. Talk about the physical
stuff. I want to go through the physical stuff, yes. And the DLC is only going to be through the titles. Half-scale replica of Snake's bionic arm, a collectible steel book, behind-the-scenes documentary Blu-ray, a physical map, exclusive packaging, who cares? DLC will have a weapons and shield pack. I'm not going to list everything in there. Cardboard box pack. Not going to list that. Snake costumes. In addition to that, there's going to be a Venom Snake emblem, a XP boost for Metal Gear Online, and several extra Metal Gear Online items, including the Metal Gear Rex helmet, MRS-4 gold assault rifle, and the Wu's Pistol Gold. Or the Wu-S Pistol Gold. Depending on how you want to pronounce that.
Woo's!
Yes. So you get some gold weapons and a Metal Gear Rex hat. So if you're online, which I know, Ramses, that took over part of your... for 4's version of it, took over part of your life for a while.
Somewhat, yeah. I actually did enjoy the Metal Gear Solid 4's Metal Gear Online, actually. And also, part of Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker's online mode
mm-hmm.
is actually really good.
Okay.
It's really, really good. It's one of the best.
So,
did you?
Yeah, ton. this game is getting way too much DLC, and that worries me right off the bat. Like, if you people look it up, and you'll just see, like, there's, like, four different cardboard boxes in the cardboard box set, and there's a bunch of different weapons and different, like, camos and etc. And I'm like, there's way too much of this junk, and I'm not keen on that. Just, I don't know. Metal Gear doesn't feel like the kind of game that needs all this DLC crap. I would be fine with extra missions or stuff like that. And in Metal Gear Online, you can get as much as you want. I'm fine with the online stuff having DLC. But I don't know why. It just bothers me for, like, you know, I don't know. It feels it takes away from the challenge of the game if I could get, like, a DLC rocket launcher or something like that.
Yeah,
you can begin with the Stinger missiles. Sweet!
You know, for me, I look at it this way. A lot of it is just useless. I'm pretty sure it's just for further, just like, you know, for advancement reasons. I'm pretty sure I can get the stuff if I work really hard at it right off the bat.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, I wouldn't...
Oh, if it's unlocked DLC, then I'm just annoyed.
So it's like... Kojima's not the type of person that's like you can buy everything with DLC. It's like that's not his MO. He's more his MO is more you can do everything, but you can work towards everything too.
Okay, well we'll see when more information comes out about the game.
But I will say this: everything else looks. I am so impressed. Even the I know you didn't care about the packaging, but what I love about the packaging that with the box that comes in, it's actually like leather bound.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool, then.
It's a leather-bound box, and it's like, I kind of want that. I saw the complete set, and I was talking to, I don't know if I was talking to Becky or to you guys, but I said, I want that deal. I want that. I'm going to buy this game 3 times. Oh, I will. I'm going to buy one for PS3. I'm going to buy this collector set for PS4, which I'll eventually buy anyways, a PS4.
Mm-hmm.
Just but I want that PS4 set. And I'm gonna buy on PC just to have a digital copy on my PC ready to go whenever I want. So Kojima, you officially own like $170 out of me.
And the thing is, it's gonna go to Kojima. Well, my plan is I will not make another Metal Gear game unless Ramses buys 3 copies of he. What? Damn it! Fine, Metal Gear Solid. What time period have I not covered? The time between 1 and 2. Okay, Metal Gear Solid 1/2. Snake falls into a lake and can transform into Girl Snake. And we'll figure this out.
I will buy that.
I would totally buy that, too. Actually, there is, I think, in one of the art books, I believe it's called Sweet Snake, which is like a gender-bent snake. I believe it's official design.
Those were minifigures when Metal Gear Solid 4 came out.
Yeah. I have two friends, actually, who've cosplayed a Sweet Snake, so... And because it's like an official design, I'm fine with it, because it's not gender-bent snake. Because I'm like, if you're going to do gender-bent snake, just cosplay Meryl, okay?
Yeah.
Cosplay Meryl. She exists. But if you're going to do Sweet Snake, that's fine, because that was an official design. So that's
why that Meryl looks awesome in Metal Gear Solid 4.
Oh, Meryl's badass in 4.
Yeah. But with that said, the only thing I'm disappointed with all this news and the reason why it took me a little bit for me to process this, because usually... when I hear the words Metal Gear,
mm-hmm.
I'm on it. Like I am on top of it, like a fly on shit. But like at first, I had to like process it, and I was like, and then eventually like, I came around and thought about it. And the reason being is that they didn't show anything. They just announced that they didn't show no new trailer, no new anything.
I like that.
And I realized why. It's because we're three months away from E3.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but I like the secrecy of it. It's kind of a thing where, you know, there's the people trying to find all the secrets about Star Wars Episode 7 as soon as possible. I'm like, I don't want it spoiled for me. If they release one more trailer, and that kind of gives me a hint about what the storyline will be about, that's all I need. And I'm just going to go see the movie with, like, no expectations and no preconceived notion of anything, because I want to enjoy it for what it is. And I feel the same way about Metal Gear. I kind of want to enjoy it for what it is. I don't need the entire story spelled out for me. 4 has so many twists and so many... I mean, God, 4. We could do several hours just talking about 4.
I mean, the thing is, it's not a great game, but wow, the presentation is one of the best I've seen in any video game I've ever played.
Yeah.
So I'll give them that much. So, but anyways, that's a, like I'm the huge Metal Gear guy, and it's just like it just took me a little bit, and like you know, hopefully, hopefully when this, hopefully as as we get closer to the game release, the, you know, the hype will be at maximum. And like, I'm really glad that I'm glad that they took their time with this game. I truly am. And, you know,
agreed.
Upon reflection, I know a lot of people. I know we kind of looked negatively upon it.
Mm-hmm.
But now looking back at it, now that we're seeing that, now that we saw that, what ended up being the end result of it, having Ground Zeroes be what it is,
mm-hmm.
just this short game was enough. Like that was that it hit that sweet spot that what I needed, and really happy
now,
that it won.
Now, please, I want to say a few things about that too. It's Ground Zeroes was great, and I'm not gonna lie, it gives good hope that, you know, Phantom Pain is gonna be great as well. But at the same time, that was to me that was too short of a game for Metal Gear. It satisfied me. For being a Metal Gear game, it satisfied me. But on the same time, I could have waited, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I could have held out for the complete five, with Ground Zero being the prologue. How, you know, with Metal Gear Solid 2, it would have been the tanker mission, tanker prologue, and then everything else.
By the way, if he's been throwing us off and it immediately switches to, like, shoot, what was the name of the guy from Portable Ops? No, it was the Raiden wannabe from Portable Ops. What was his name?
No. It's the guy, he's from Metal Gear Solid. He's from Metal Gear Solid as well.
No.
Oh, Raikkonoff, or something like that.
Yeah. It was Null, wasn't it? I thought it was Null, was the wannabe from...
Ray Fox?
No. Oh no, you're right. Right. Oh. Great Fox is Null. My bad. Whoever, the
Metal Gear Solid 3 when you
Not three. Not that Raiden wannabe.
Right?
No. In Portable Ops, there's a character who's like the progenitor of Raiden. There's a guy who's like the progenitor.
Yeah,
he's
that's Ravenoff.
Oh, is it still Ravenoff? I think it's a codename and something like that. I was thinking it was a codename, but whatever. Yes.
Yeah.
If it just switches off and suddenly just Ravenoff, that would just be amazing. That would just piss so many people off, and it would just be a freaking amazing. It's not what any of the trailer stuff looks like. It looks like you're going to drive ride around on a horse a lot, and I'm in. So, just ride around in a horse and kill people and set up Outer Heaven.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, if they try to do something like that,
mm-hmm.
and they put back Raiden, it would actually be an upgrade. Because after Metal Gear Solid Rising, it's like, oh, he's already proven his heroic chops. So it's like...
Well, they're doing Rising too, so...
Like,
to continue Raiden's...
Oh, I hope they are.
That was the story a while back, that they were...
Well, now they're saying that there isn't, but now it's like... But I put like a question mark on it.
Yeah. After watching you play it, I actually wouldn't mind to just go through that, just for almost but not quite Devil May Cry goodness.
It's good.
Yeah.
Anyways,
we still have more news. We've just gotten this large tangent about Metal Gear.
But goddamn, Metal Gear is so fucking awesome. We love you, Kojima.
We're fanboys. What do you want, folks? We have a certain handful of franchises that all three of us love. Metal Gear is one of them. So, continuing on to a franchise I love, Elder Scrolls. There is an Elder Scrolls mod for Medieval Total War II Kingdoms. The mod has 20 factions. It covers the time period at the end of the Third Age and into the beginning of the Fourth Age. Fans of the franchise will know what that means. It lasts for 600 turns, has 250 unique units, and according to the modders, it's still not complete. But it is available for public usage, so if you have Medieval Total War II, may I highly recommend getting this upgrade if you're a fan of Elder Scrolls, because it's basically going to tell you about the various wars and story stuff that occurs around the time periods of Morrowind and Oblivion. So you get some cool stuff going down in there that you'll get to be involved in and reshape history depending on which kingdom and faction you lead. Continuing on a sad note, or did somebody say Ramses?
I said it would be interesting.
Okay. Sad note, Maxis is closed because EA is dicks. That seems to be the consensus online, at least. EA says they're just consolidating those smaller Maxis studios into larger studios for ability to whatever BS they want to go with. Anyhow, they also said that Sims and SimCity production and DLC and stuff will not be hindered or hampered. Those games are still coming out. Will Wright is not fired, because they'd be retarded to do that. So, yeah.
I was gonna ask, that was my question. Did Will Wright, like, jump ship or something like that?
I don't think so. I found nothing that said that Will Wright has quit. It just seems like they wanted to consolidate, that they felt that the studio was a redundancy and they wanted to consolidate it into their other main EA branches. But this could be a sign that maybe Will Wright's contract is coming to an end and he's like, screw it, I want to do my own thing. Who knows?
Which would be a good idea at this point. Which would be good at this point, in my opinion. Sorry, guys.
In terms of things that, you know, kind of might be important to some people, Capcom has released a patch that adds co-op back into the PC version of Resident Evil Revelations 2. Now, if you've been listening to our show, modders made their own version of it about a week or so ago. It was 2 weeks ago, I can't remember. So Capcom was able to...
I unlocked it. That's what it was.
It may have been a locked thing, too. That Capcom was hoping to charge for co-op mode or what have you. But either way, Capcom has made it available for everybody, which leads to my point of, now, was that so hard? Odds are this is some sort of hidden code that they were going to make DLC or what have you, and shame on you, Capcom, if that was the case.
Well, no, because I remember they were saying that they were going to add in new stuff for, like, once all the chapters were already released.
And,
I'm pretty sure that was one of the things that was going to be, like, scheduled when the game was already completed.
But fans want their co-op now.
What?
That fans want their co-op now.
I guess.
And they want a game that's better than Resident Evil 6.
And the worst part is, it is actually way better from the early reviews I've been hearing. It's actually really good.
I don't really feel it's that hard to do better than Resident Evil 6. Or 5, for that matter, but whatever. That franchise is generally dead to me.
Well,
zombies.
No, Resident Evil 6, actually, believe it or not, is, like, well, Resident Evil Revelations 2, really good. Really, really good.
I know Miguel played Revelations 1 and enjoyed it. And the franchise is just generally dead to me. Like, I just don't care, but I know a lot of people who still do, so that's the reason I make it part of my news.
Now, with me, with Resident Evil and Revelations 2 being episodic, I don't want to chill out, you know, $5 an episode or $10 an episode or whatever the price point for it is.
Especially because they'll release a complete edition at some point anyways.
That is cheaper than buying all the episodic content together, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm waiting for, too.
You guys have to let me know how it is, because I'm sure it is good. The reviews seem to be good. It's just, like I said, franchise is dead to me, so.
That's, well, when it comes out, when all the chapters come out, and when there's a pretty decent Steam sale, if it's like $15 or $10, we'll tell you.
Okay.
But like I said, Resident Evil Revelations 1, it was actually really good. It actually got me excited for Resident Evil again. I'm really excited to play this once it's complete, so... Yeah.
When we're done with the show, you're gonna have to explain to me how everything ties into a timeline, because I'm at least curious about that, because Revelations came out before 6, so just, but we'll save that for after show, because I want to get through the news and get onto some of our other subjects. Speaking of franchises that nobody cares about, and I think I'm using the term franchise loosely, since there's only one game ever in the franchise. Interplay is working on a remaster of Clay Fighter, which will have new content and new mechanics. So I looked over it again, and it said that. So, Ramses, I know you had some experience with this. I'll finish the news story. You tell us about your Super Nintendo or Genesis experience. They're doing this project alongside Drip Drop Games, who I've never heard of, and it'll be out in 2016 for PC, which... PC fighters just aren't my thing, but I guess if I got a new controller, maybe they could be. I could get...
The game sucks!
The Ramses rage.
That's all Ramses.
That game fucking sucks, I swear to God! No one fucking asked for this fucking game! Why?!
I think the only thing I ever thought that was kind of cool of it was, like, the little aesthetic with how they, you know... do things.
The only thing that's fucking good about the game is Earthworm Jim is in the fucking game.
Is he really?
Yes.
Playable character or
playable.
Like, okay.
And Boogerman.
Yeah, I know Boogerman's in there.
Yeah. How the fuck were there 3 of those stupid fucking games in the 90s?
Wait, there was 3 of them? I thought they just had a Super Nintendo and Genesis version.
there's Super Nintendo game. There's Clay Fighters 1. There's C2 Judgment Clay, and then there's Clay Fighters 63 and a third.
Fuck's sake.
And right now I'm imagining Jared just on the ground having convulsions.
My franchise joke was there was one game, and then it turns out there's. By the way, how little do I care about Clay Fighters when I didn't know there were three games in the franchise? Oh my god.
And the worst part is, the third one actually had a pretty decent intro song done by Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, well, I'll go online and look that up then, because
yeah.
I don't care about the gameplay, but I'll listen to a Weird Al song.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good. But, like I said, there's, like... But the concept was novel, though. They're like, why don't we make the most over-the-top violent game without using violence?
Well, they use violence. They just... It's all, like... It's just Clay. So, like, you know, so kind of like Celebrity Deathmatch. You can get as gory as you want because it's just, you know, little Clay guys beating each other up. It's not real
people. Yeah, but the thing is, the concept was like, okay... We can show, like, fatalities. You can show people getting their heads like, in their, in, like, contorted, all that good stuff.
Yep.
But you know what? The best part is, parents will not complain about it because, you know what? It's all Clay people.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. It's just, in execution, it looks like everyone's running at, like, 5 frames per second. I imagine the HD remix is going to run at 10 frames per second. Jesus, merciful.
Yeah, they're putting in 20 characters, so I assume that's going to add stuff from 2 and 3. But
I'm pretty sure. Well, the last, if I remember correctly, the last there's a lot of history behind this game, by the way.
Is there really?
Yeah. There's another like bit of music goes with, along with this. But the fact of the matter is, the last game had like 12 characters,
mm-hmm.
which was the N64 version. So I'm pretty sure it's like those 12 characters plus whatever character they introduced from 1 and 2 put back in.
Yeah. So.
It's the hodgepodge of nothing.
Yeah. It's really weird the fact that Interplay's still around in and of itself always surprises me, because I'm like, really? I thought you guys were dead. Because, like, I understand that certain franchises, I'll admit this, if Interplay was officially dead and I had the money, I'd buy the Descent license and make Descent subtitle something cool.
You want to make another Descent?
I love the Descent games. I love the Descent. I would buy the license and make Descent, like, Endless War or something like, or Endless Deep. Ooh, Endless Deep, that sounds cool. Descent, Endless Deep. And it would be like this, like...
Descent was a pretty cool game.
Yeah. And Descent 2 was more of the same, but it was an enjoyable more of the same. Descent 3 was basically a prologue to Free Space. So,
I think we're long due for a 360 FPS at this point. So it's like, I'm down with this.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's basically an FPS, but you're in a ship. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So you get all three...
It's an FPS, but you're in a ship, and you have 360-degree motion.
Yep.
I'm down with that.
I think it would be a cool franchise. Like I said, if Interplay was dead, I had the money, I'd buy Descent, I'd make a brand new HD Descent that would be a completely new game. It wouldn't be reusing the old maps. Maybe I'd put in a couple of the old maps for nostalgia's sake, but for the most part, it would be completely new game, completely new story, but you get that whole... You know, three-dimensional movements and things like that, and have a lot of fun with it. And I'd bring back enemy. I'll bring back the old enemy ships because I like some of those enemy ship designs. But bringing back Clay Fighters, who gives a crap?
Oh, you won't believe what happened with this game. Apparently, this game was in development since I think 2012.
Oh, that's always a good sign.
It's been development, and originally the game was going to be called Clay Fighters HD: The Call of Clay.
Of course it was.
Call of Clay. I don't know.
They couldn't go with Call of Clay Thulu? Because Call of Clay Thulu would have been really kind of creative. But no, Call of Clay. It's good.
Yeah.
Too.
Call of Clay Thulu,
that would
be awesome. You know, Thulu's character and everything.
Yeah,
originally this game was supposed to be a WiiWare game and also a DSiWare game. But then it moved development into 3DS, and now it's coming out for PC and for all consoles.
Yay.
But this is the same game, by the way. This is the same fucking game.
You're right. It might actually be 10 frames per second.
Yeah, so it's like, I am not looking forward to the day that we have, that we live in a world where we can play a game like Super, where we have such titans as Mortal Kombat X.
Street Fighter V and
Shaq Fu a Legend Reborn?
Well, I don't know about Shaq Fu Legend Reborn. They haven't said what that game is just yet. I don't even think it's gonna be a I don't think that's gonna be a fighting game.
Oh.
But I was gonna say but yeah, it's like we have all these amazing fighting. We have Skullgirls, we got like, you know, SNK wants to make one more go at a new 3D and a new 3D King of Fighters.
I actually really liked Maximum Impact, so.
Yeah.
Well, I liked Maximum Impact too, actually, but whatever.
It's like we're starting to get to that point where it's like shit's about to be getting oversaturated really quick. If we see that shit like, oh, Play Fighters. Oh.
Yeah.
The only way. And the thing is, like, the only way is they can redeem themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The only way is if they get like Iron Galaxies, the guys who are currently working on Killer Instinct, and the guys who made Dive Kick,
mm-hmm.
to work on the game. Because I don't know if you saw the new character they just introduced for Killer Instinct.
No, I haven't really been paying attention. I never really cared about that franchise, but at least I know there's two games in it.
Well, the new one for the Xbox One actually has like a Sadako-like character from The Ring.
Okay.
So it's like they love creating like these weird esoteric like, you know, fighting types.
Yeah.
So it's like, who better to put like this weird, obscure game and actually work on it and make it halfway decent than Iron Galaxy? If they take the Herculean task and make this game, I would actually be hyped. But I am more pissed than hyped.
You know what I'd rather see? I'd rather see Arc Systems take it over and do a classic Arc Systems type storyline for it. That would be amazing. This game doesn't have a story. It does now.
And all of a sudden, they're just being with my Daisuke Ishimori. It's like, okay, yeah. I'm so down with this.
It would just be amazing. It would just be such a batshit story. And because they do all the weird character types that have all the strange playing styles as well. But they would just give it a really weird Japanese flair as versus Iron Galaxy, who would give it a much more Americanized flair.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, that's why Iron Galaxy is gonna be weird, but they're gonna take it to like American weird.
Yeah.
And then, but since some works on it, it's gonna be Japanese weird.
Yeah, I love Japanese so weird like, when it comes to fighting games, though.
But either or, that I'm totally down with this because like that's the kind of shot in the arm you need with a game like Play Fighters, is just make it fucking weird.
Yeah.
That's what you need right now. If like seeing how troubled the development is and all that stuff. Not only am I not hyped for it, but I am like the there's like negative hype right now for this game for me. It's like I'm more pissed the more I have to hear about this story.
See, I generally forgot that this franchise existed until James and Mike Monday. Yeah, I know I reference them a lot. They played a little of it and it looked mediocre at best. I was like, I kind of like the whole aesthetic of this, but this doesn't look like they're having fun just trying to like see the weird moves and see how the guys, you know, change and what have you, but they literally had like they'd printed up a move list so they could do the moves, if I recall properly. Which, by the way, biggest pet peeve of old fighting games is that you just can't press start and go to moves list. And I know some people's like, oh, you're supposed to memorize that. So I'm like, memorizing is a pain in the butt, especially when you have like 20 characters. You know, I just give me the freaking moves list. Or you do it like Melty Blood, where everyone has the exact same moves, you just have to remember what they do. And that's fine, but it's one or the other, you know. Give everyone the same moveset, and you just remember what they do, or you give me the ability to hit pause and look at the moves list. Now, player versus player at home is fine, but online versus, no, because that will just screw things up royally. So you can't check your moves list on online versus, but if you're going into online versus, I assume you know how to use your characters. You know who your three or four favorites are, and you're just going to use those three or four favorites. But when it's like me and my friends playing, sometimes we just hit random, and we're like, oh crap, I've never used this character before, what are the moves? So, you know, just saying. Put in a damn moves list and a good fighting engine, and you know what, maybe this could be the game that turns it around, Ramses. Who knows? But I doubt it.
Not bloody likely, but like, yeah. So like I said, if this is the same game that they were talking about for the last couple of years, Yeah, this game, we might as well just like take it out to the back and just shoot it.
Poor Interplay, trying so hard to be relevant again, and they're just not going to happen.
Well, the thing is, they do have one ace up their sleeve right now, and that's Fallout.
Well, yeah, but Fallout franchise is owned by Bethesda.
And everyone's very quiet when I made that.
Yeah, it's owned by Bethesda, so
yeah, but they still own, like, the...
If they're just getting money from Bethesda when Bethesda makes a Fallout game, that's not called an ace up your sleeve, that's called being pathetic. And by the way, the real answer is Interplay has Mega Race. Yeah, Mega Race. Fairly certain they made that. Let's bring back Mega Race. Woo! Mega Race. But if that wasn't Interplay, I apologize.
Mega Race, nope, that was like Cryo Interactive.
Ah, damn it. Find me an obscure Interplay game.
They have nothing left. They got nothing left.
Are we gonna continue on, or?
Oh, yes, we'll stop bashing Interplay for a few minutes.
Yes, please.
Okay, last story I have is World of Warcraft is trying out this token system, where you can spend gold to get tokens that will give you time to play. So, this could be kind of a cool way for, you know, players who have an excessive amount of gold to basically have to stop their subscription, which is kind of cool. Or to get your friends in, if your friends are, say, don't want to get a subscription to the game, but wouldn't mind to play with you again. Hint, hint, friends who listen to this podcast. So, you know, if you just spend your excessive gold and buy me a few tokens, I'll join you for a couple months. We'll have some fun. Well, you can rock my level, like, 15 characters alongside your level 60 characters. We'll have a lot of fun. Yeah, sorry, folks. I never got particularly far in World of Warcraft. Yeah. I had like 3 characters, and then I got to like between levels 15 and 20. But I like that game. It's fun. I like being able to be a support character or a mage or a warlock. God, I loved being a warlock. But yeah, that's the news I got. Ramses, I know you have some stories you've been wanting to talk about.
Okay. First things first, I want to talk about at GDC they announced a few new things from Valve. Valve showed off their new hardware that they're showing that they've been working on for a while now. One of the first things they showed off was the new Steam Machine. Steam Machines are, quote-unquote, supposed to be more powerful than the current-gen systems currently... No, not current-gen. Of next-gen systems currently out. And I'm like, I like to put an asterisk on that.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know how I feel about that just yet. So it's like, I don't know. So that one we can put in the, bullshit side.
Yeah.
But the next two things I kind of want to talk about. The Steam controller looks really cool. It's like it's basically truly, you know, friction pads on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't want to give this a shot. So apparently, a lot of developers saying it actually feels really good when you play games. So it's like, oh, well, we'll give this a shot. And the thing that actually caught my attention, the thing I kind of wanted to talk about was the Steam Link. Steam Link, what it basically does... is if any computer that's linked to a Steam account, it will act as a portable version of that, and actually transmit the game from one computer to whatever part of the house you're at.
Oh, that's different.
So it's like that's really good, because like, for someone that likes playing games, like doesn't like playing games on a small screen like this, mm-hmm. It's really good. For example, if I just want to like go downstairs to my big screen TV and just play like whatever on it.
So it's basically doing big screen mode, but you don't have to directly hook your computer to the TV. You can actually just plug this thing in and zap it over.
Exactly.
That's kind of nice.
It's coming. All this stuff is coming out in November, so we'll be seeing what's up with. We'll be hearing more about set as time goes on.
Yeah, when I'm in LA, I'm expecting a good amount of big screen mode going down. Just because I.
Geez.
Yeah, I know. Except for I'll be like alone and by myself and sad. Have my drunk friend like constantly bugging me. It'll be great.
Yeah, like I said, I tested out these capabilities of in-home streaming on a laptop I had.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually really good.
Okay.
It's really good. It's a really good. It's a really good. What's up?
What I kind of was zoning out a little there.
That's fine. But
Yeah.
Big screening Steam.
The question, Ramsey, is...
We're talking about big Steam, doing the big screen mode on Steam.
Okay.
Big screen mode and the Steam system, which is actually really good. Like, it's a really good, it sounds really good, especially if you, like, if you don't want to look this big, huge monolith all around the house, you have to, you can put it right there and just play it off that.
Nice.
So... So that's gonna be really interesting when it comes out. And I might actually invest in one of them. I think the suggested retail price for it is $49.99. So it's like, that's not bad actually.
Agreed.
And what's great is like you don't need to buy any extra controllers. If you got an Xbox controller, you can lock that one in or use the Steam controller right off the bat.
Yeah, Steam controller looks kind of cool actually.
Yeah, it looks kind of good. It's like they said, like it actually works really well on like point and click games, oddly enough.
Huh. Well, as a person who reviewed way too many of those last October, I wouldn't mind to try a good controller on one of those games instead of mousing around the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm gonna have to review a bunch of like horror-based point and clicks in this October. I'm so not looking forward to that. Except for Scratches, I've been really looking forward to playing Scratches.
Well, thanks for spoiling one of the games.
Oh, right. I usually keep it. Well, no one's gonna remember in October.
Exactly. It's like,
It's a game I've been looking forward to playing, and I'm like, I'm probably gonna play it beforehand, sometime earlier this year, and then I'll play it again in October. I think there's multiple endings, so I can do that.
And did I say there was anything else I wanted to talk about? Because I think that's about it for me on everything else I wanted to talk about.
I thought there was an amiibo thing. Some amiibo news.
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, it's all a rumor right now.
Okay.
But I don't know, but it seems to be valid. It seems to be valid because it came from a listing.
All right.
And they did announce partially what Wave 5 of the Smash Brothers series is going to be,
mm-hmm.
and what the next game that's going to support amiibo is going to be. So partially that we know so far that may or may not be confirmed, but it's starting to look like it might be confirmed,
mm-hmm.
is Greninja and Jigglypuff.
Sweet.
So we're gonna have that, and then the next game that's supposed to feature amiibo support is going to be Splatoon.
Oh, I wonder how.
And basically what this listing shows both a Splatoon character, a Splatoon figure for both a boy and a girl.
Alright.
So my theory is that's how, like, if you buy Splatoon, you can save your character or take your character with you and save the character on the figure itself.
Oh, that would be actually kind of cool, because then, yeah, if we're going to do home co-op or whatever, then, you know, I could just take mine over to Miguel's house and plop it in, and I can play Miguel's, resave it onto my figure, and go home and take all my our team data.
Yeah.
That game actually looks like a lot of fun because it's team-based, like, capture the flag stuff, but when I was watching that trailer, it's like, oh, you can play all sorts of different ways. Do you want to just be, like, building up the paint, your team's paint, and build, like, reinforce your base? Do you want to go and hunt after stuff and be a Pathfinder? I'm like, oh, wait, I can play defensively in this? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm in. Just going to be the defense guy. Because I'm the medic. And if I can't be a medic, I'll play defense.
Yeah, that officially means that's everything. That's everything right there.
Yep, Splatoon.
That's kind of cool. So, I'm sure they'll talk more about it in some Nintendo Direct coming up when they get the Series 5 figures ready to go. Man,
yeah,
I'm so behind in collecting these little sons of guns. I'm going to... probably do Toys R Us.
Six of these and once more.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to probably do a Toys R Us run some point when I'm in California and see if I can grab a couple. Even if they're like, I mean, because like there's certain specific series I'd want stuff from, but I mean, hell, if I can get like a Luigi, why not, you know? Or a Diddy Kong.
I think by the time you come in, I think that's when the Mario Party series ones are coming out.
Yeah, get Mario Party, dude.
Well, I'm saying, like, to be honest with you, the Mario and Luigi on that set are way better than the Smash Bros. Ones, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, like, looks, I don't like Luigi doing that. I don't like Luigi doing his taunt. I'd rather have him be in that stance he has in the Mario Party ones.
Yeah. I'll agree. His little weird stretchy taunt thing looks kind of stupid.
So I was like, I'd rather have that. I'd rather have him in just like in that neutral pose that he's got than the one that is
Yeah, I just want stuff to look cool on my shelf since, like I said, I have no system that requires them. Well, they don't require them, but, you know, where I can use them.
Yeah.
But if I can have them on my shelf hanging out with my other figures that I have over here, and I'm probably going to bring a couple of my figures over across the country if I have room in my suitcase. I'm going to bring Cure Passion over here, and I want to bring some of my DiCapo figures. Have them all set up and looking cool. All
right. Well, that's about it for me. What, do you have anything, Miguel, you want to bring up?
I do not have much news stories. You guys pretty much covered most of the new stuff that I have uncovered for the most part, for my part.
Alright.
Just a few things I just do want to mention out there is that, you know, we got to get Vidar to greenlight on Steam. So you guys, make sure you listen, go on the Steam greenlight, and vote up Vidar for the greenlight.
I will take care of that after the show as well, when I'm getting that other game you were telling me about. I will do both at once.
Yep. And for now, that's pretty much all that I've got, really.
All right. Well, thanks for keeping us updated on that. I never seem to pay attention to the green light listings, which is bad of me.
There's one last thing. It barely got to me that as I was looking for something.
Mm-hmm.
Valve, not in addition to all of those great hardware things, announced their Source Engine 2.
Yeah, which
so
is...
So they may as well just have put a big banner that says that we're working on Half-Life 3.
It'll be out in 5 more years. Be great.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's going to come out, not eventually, but I'm pretty sure it's going to, like work has already started if they already have a new engine already set up for it.
Yeah, well, Valve has their handful of franchises that they're going to do, and I'm sure their first... They'll announce the first Source 2 game probably fairly soon, if they already announced the engine.
I was going to say, one of the things that they did say was... One of the things that they did say is, it's open to anybody for them to use as long as the game will end up on Steam.
That is awesome. Because I will... If I had my own company, I would immediately go, all right, that solves my problem. Yes, I want the game on Steam, and free Source 2, by all means.
So that's basically the deal. It's like basically the it's all free. It's anybody can use it as long as the game will be for Steam, no matter what. So it's like
Steam exclusive
no, Steam exclusive.
Okay.
Like if it's going out for PC, it's gonna come out. If the game's gonna come out for PC, the game has to be 100% for Steam.
I think I'd be fine with that. I wonder what you could do with that engine. Like if you did something that was not a first person shooter. I wonder how it would turn out.
Well, if, for a perfect example, if you want to see how stuff looked in the original Source, then just look at stuff like games like you know Garry's Mod.
Oh yeah, and Garry's Mod uses Source, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it's like that's actually where like a lot of the openness of Source came from.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just be curious to try different genres using. I mean, because I know a lot of Valve games are first person games. It's just what Valve does. And nothing against those games. I love Portal. I love Team Fortress. So I enjoy Counter-Strike occasionally. So, you know, it's one of those things where I see that game. I'm like, yeah, but what if you did like a 2D platformer a la like Prince of Persia old school? You know, something along those lines. I wonder what you could do using Source of that. Kind of like lighting effects and what have you could do and what kind of cool stages you can make with it. Because I wouldn't mind to do something along those lines, you know. For anyone who played The Cave is amazing. And, you know, doing something like that, but didn't having, like, this, like, really, really good engine, just be interesting to see how that could turn out. Anyhow, yeah, that's my... I want to get a game announcement, I guess, is what I'm trying to say here. Game announcement, Val. Get to it. Chop, chop.
Half-Life 3 announced.
Yeah.
In 2020.
Yeah. Coming out by the time your kids are old enough to play it. Speaking of games playing, how are you liking DLC Quest?
It's a nice little fun little easy game to play.
Okay. Just hoping
it's all annoying for DLC being DLC that's available to buy all the power-ups and upgrades.
Yeah.
And just, like, we're talking
just like how real DLC is in real life. Because, you know... DLC sucks.
Well, no, it's kind of funny that we're talking about that, and then we're talking about like Kojima like putting all these stuff that you can unlock anyways.
Well, we don't have that confirmed though.
Yeah.
I want that confirmed. Once that's confirmed, I don't, you know, it's one of those like, okay, whatever. Because there's other games that have that too. I've seen a lot of like, especially fighters, a lot of fighting games have that. Just so lazy people who don't unlock all the various characters can just pay $1 to unlock each of those characters. Versus like having actually like legit, you know, DLC characters, which is different.
Yeah, it's like, it's, like you said, there's just a lot of discussion. That's the problem with this week. It's like, there's a lot of discussion than there is news.
Yes, and that was generally my issue when I was going through the news, my frustration. I'm like, this isn't editorial week, folks, people. We should have some sort of news beyond Rock Band 4 coming out. Huzzah.
Well, the good news, like I said, Rock Band 4, the good news is, like, old DLC, if you have some of the DLC, will still work on your game.
Yeah, and so that begins it with a DLC pile of, like, 500 songs.
I think more, I want to say, like, about 1,000?
Yeah, that's probably actually more accurate.
Because, like, it went through the first one, and then the second one, and the second one had God knows how many songs, and then all the other, like, then all the other games, that spin-off game, like, you know, the Beatles and an AC/DC.
Oh, right, and an album's worth of stuff on those games. I totally forgot about the spin-off Rock Bands.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Jeez, that'd be a lot of insane amount of content. Which, hey, for those of you who want to rock that, I mean, why not? Now you can get modern hits like Happy and
Uptown Funk.
Uptown Funk, yes. It'd be fun to play on my Rock Band guitar. I like those songs. It's just they're not like what I would think of as fun songs to play on Rock Band. But you know what? It's been a while since they've released one of these music-based games, so I think it's kind of a... I think it's about time. I think it'll gain its popularity back. Because for a while there, it just seemed like every couple of weeks we were getting another, you know, Guitar Hero or Band Hero, Rock Band, DJ Hero. All that crap was just, like, week after week just getting another one, and I think it's finally... enough time has passed where people could actually get excited about it again.
Yeah, that's true. I don't feel really excited for it again.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it takes too much room.
All the kit, the drum kit, the guitar, it just takes too much room for it.
Yep. Even if I had a larger place, I'd rather use that room for something else.
I would rather pick up Rocksmith and learn to actually play a guitar.
Yeah, that's actually kind of cool. You always see DLC for that being produced because, you know, whatever new songs and old songs, and if you want to learn how to play it, more power to you. And I like the fact that there's a game that actually teaches stuff, and it's still going strong. Like, people still are into it. That was all those things I thought would just come and go, and it did not.
Yeah, but you can say the same thing about Rock Band, where it's like it already hit its plateau. It's still being played, but just you just need to look for it.
Well, I don't think they've had new Rock Band DLC in a while, though.
No, they haven't. But like I said, it's like, you know, I'm pretty sure those plastic instruments are being put to good use somewhere.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Look, if you have the whole set, you may as well, you know, rock out and play stuff.
Let me look up something while you guys keep at it.
But, you know, it's just kind of sad that we had two major events and more of it are talking points and less of it is announcements and news and things to get excited about. I mean, hell, we even get retarded people online doing the whole, have you seen the costume rules and the Booth Babe rules for PAX East? And I'm like, the same rules they've had for years? Yes. Why is this a surprise to everyone every year? Cosplayers, stop being retarded. Companies, stop hiring booth babes. They're not allowed. Okay, there. We done? Good. Come on.
Okay, they did confirm another thing that's actually really interesting.
Oh, what?
They did confirm that all the old instruments will also work as well.
Oh, that's good. Wait, but what if you have an instrument like... Oh, is there a place to plug in? Does the Xbox One have a slot that I can plug in my instruments for, though?
They're USB.
Is there a USB on Xbox One?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I've had one experience with an Xbox One while, like, looking over my brother's system. I didn't really pay attention. Okay, well, yeah, they're all just USB instruments, then yeah, I guess they probably would still work.
And they also did say also that the official number of songs is 2,108 songs.
Holy, is that including the new stuff, or is that just what already pre-exists?
That already pre-exists alone.
Oh my god!
So, yeah.
Head just exploded.
Yeah, because I remember, like 3 years after Rock Band 3 had come out, mm-hmm. they were still doing DLC.
That's true. They did keep that Rock Band 3 DLC going for a while.
God. Wasn't there also, independent, something where working with independent people as well?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, but I don't know.
But then again, you're also saying, hey, do you remember the DLC for a game you never owned? And I'm like, no. I remember seeing it listed when they got new songs or new albums, and I was like, oh, that's cool. But yeah, it's been a while since Rock Band 3, hasn't it?
I want to say it was, 5 years now?
I don't even know if Red Octane, the people who took over Guitar Hero when Harmonix became their own company, I don't even know if Red Octane is even still open.
5 years ago was the last one.
Like, yeah.
Rock Band 3 was 2010.
Yeah, so
Red Octane, the people that are doing Guitar Hero now, Rock Band.
No, what I'm saying is I don't know if Red Octane is even still open or if Activision's closed them at this point.
They got the font around 2010.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So really they're going in with no competition at this point. They can release Rock Band and there's no competing franchise at this point.
Unless at E3 Jack Tretton comes out with a plastic guitar and they're like, "Oh no!"
I think if that was the case, I think Activision would have jumped the gun and also announced saying, hey, we have Guitar Hero coming out as well.
Good point.
So, yeah, I think they're just like, no, we're done with that. You guys go, Harmonix, go to your own crap. We're moving on. We're releasing Call of Duty 12, so we got things to do. But it's one of those interesting things, because I almost got a job for Red Octane. I was up with a handful of other people, and I could have been working for them, and then realizing when they got shut down, I would have been working for like 3 years. I'd have had a job for like 3 years, and the place would have gotten shut down. And I'd be sitting there going like, "Well, I worked for Red Octane on like the last couple of Hero games. Oh, how'd that go for you? The studio's closed down now, so not as well as I would hope."
I'm the guy who penned the Johnny Cash DLC, the deal with Johnny Cash.
With his estate, because he's dead.
Yes, with his estate.
It's one of those. There's some awesome Johnny Cash songs though. That'd be kind of cool.
Well, no, it's like the I don't know if you remember during the controversy that came about from that.
I don't remember when I got kicked out of the running. I ceased caring about Red Octane or anything they released. Yes, I'm petty like that, folks. They took my job.
I don't blame you either, because that was kind of a weird situation. It was like,
yeah.
Really?
But then they had so many problems. You're right. They had so many problems after that. I'm like, I probably dodged a bullet by not working for them. On the other hand, I could have worked on the games and maybe prevented some of those bullets.
Yeah.
Who knows? Obviously, my impact on the company could have been negligible. It could have been major. No one knows. But my favorite moment of all time is when they had the dude from Guitar Hero coming up on E3, and he's like, "And guess what, folks? In addition to Guitar Hero 3, we're releasing Guitar Hero Metallica." And he literally waits there as if he's expecting the cheers. And other DLC will be coming very shortly. It's just like that. It's just like, he was so expectant of like the cheers of Metallica. And I'm like, dude, if you announced that in like 1996, you probably would have had a lot of happy people. Unfortunately, it's 2006 and no one gives a crap about Metallica anymore for a reason. They aren't what they used to be. You got the Metallica license because it costs you nothing. Lars Ulrich was like, "Oh, please, please, yes, license our songs, please. I need some cash monies."
Yep. So, anyways, anything else?
No, that was just my stark about music and music games. Can kind of move on to any kind of free topic if you guys have anything you want to talk about.
Well, I don't really have anything necessarily.
Like how I can hear the crickets. That was just amazing. I'm totally going to keep that in there.
Well, the crickets are fucking outside my house.
Oh, it's your crickets this time, not Miguel's like last time.
Okay. Well, no, I'm pretty tapped out myself when it comes to topics, because it's like, you know, we ran pretty much a huge comment of topics. So, Dominic's, I can't talk today.
No, you cannot.
I talk. Jesus Christ.
We have gone through a lot of stuff. I mean, considering how shallow the news is, the fact that we've been over an hour talking, you know, kind of about the news and what have you, is amazing. Although a lot of it is us ranting about certain games, which is great when the show notes come out. It's just like, oh, wow, they talk about these games? And, like, yeah, we talk about them with, like, ranting and negativity. We're not talking about them in some sort of positive light.
A lot of that was ranting about Clay Fighters, I think.
Yeah, yep. we did have that long Clay Fighters rant. But we also
Clay Fighters. Now I'm upset again. Oh, my God.
Menzies, are you on the stream right now watching
this? I saw what you got your ass got panned.
Yeah, but keep reading.
Please enter new name. Player 2. Player 2 is already taken. Please enter new name. Justin Bailey. Justin Bailey is already taken. Please enter nickname. Menzies accepted. And ladies and gentlemen, that's how Japanese people choose their PSN name.
Oh, just random gibberish letters?
Yeah, random gibberish, because it's like, that's why usually whenever you play, Gundam versus Full Boost, and you see this, like, you know you're playing a Japanese player, it's just random mishmash of, like, letters and stuff, and like, wait, oh, it's a Japanese player, we're doomed.
Yeah. Well, it'd be great, because if I had a Japanese system, you know, my name would just be like, they look at it and go, that word makes no sense. And I'm like, I just chose random kana because I have no idea what any of this means.
Well, no, that's just that. They gave him the nickname. They gave him, like, my friends gave him the moniker of license plates.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's just like random license plate numbers.
Yeah, I never thought about that, but that's true.
All right. Okay.
You know what? Since we talked about it on a previous episode, on the Jared and Ramsey's episode, I did, and I talked about it a little bit last time, but we weren't really getting a large conversation about it. I was playing some Super Mario Land recently, and man, does that game not hold up? But Super Mario Land...
Glasses at its best, Jared.
But Super Mario Land 2 is still pretty darn good. Like, the graphically, it looks 1,000 times better than its predecessor, and the game physics work a lot better. The fireball's the fireball. The bunny ears are kind of cute. It's just generally kind of a fun game. And it's kind of interesting to kind of play early Game Boy games versus later Game Boy games and the sheer difference in the quality.
Well, mind you, one thing about Mario Land 1 is that it was a launch title.
Oh, was it? I always forget about that.
It was a launch title. I remember getting Game Boy with Mario Brothers, with Mario Land.
Oh, cool. Okay.
I remember getting it, and I was like, okay, cool. And I got it for, like, Easter one time, and I was like, oh, thank you, Mom.
I got mine of
so
Tetris.
I remember getting both, and that's why it's like, you can clearly tell.
Yeah.
You can, like, clearly tell if this game was, like, very early on. It was, like, a very early NES game, but not very early NES. Very early Game Boy game that they just made,
mm-hmm.
And only that it wasn't made by none of the Game Boy Mario games are made by by Miyamoto. It's actually Gunpei Yokoi that made those games.
Oh,
Gunpei Yokoi.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense because he was in charge of a lot of the Game Boy development.
Yeah, so it's like, I'm pretty sure he was like, okay, let me try something weird. And I guess that's why the game was so weird.
Yeah.
Well, like, because he wanted a game that's like, okay, yeah, this game's going to be hard, but don't bear with me here. It's hard, but it's beatable.
Yeah.
Wow, I remember one time I was stuck at the doctor's office once.
Mm-hmm.
And I just played through that, and that game, if it weren't for save states, I would have just killed myself.
Well, I know there's some warps in the game. I just can't remember how to get to them. Because as I was playing through, and I got to, like, near the end of level 2, got to, like, 2, 3 or something like that before I lost all my lives. And I was like, you know what? I remember, like, some secrets in this game, but I have no idea what they are anymore. You know, it's that kind of a thing where I'm like, I want to experiment and try jumping off certain ledges and what have you to try to figure out the secrets of the game, but I'm like, I don't remember them anymore because it's just been way too long. And I think that's probably that way with a lot of older games. I went back and played certain older games I was really good at one point. I'd probably just lose because I forgot all the tricks.
Yeah, I feel the same way too, because the problem is I thought, like, okay, it's fine. I'll try to see how this game works, see how this game feels. And as the more I play the game, I'm like, how the fuck did I play this game when I was young?
Yeah, because I remember getting pretty far into the game. I don't think I ever beat it, but I got, like, to the second to last level, or maybe even the last level, before losing all my lives. And as I'm going through it, I'm like, how was I good at this game back in the day? I am not as good at this as I remember being. And little things like hating how the little fireball thing works. I hate the bouncy ball thing you shoot out of your hand because it's impossible to aim at anything.
How the hell did we get good at playing a game like that? Like, seriously.
No idea.
Where do our motor skills go? My God.
It's not even motor skills.
You're still young. You still got your motor skills. Jesus Christ.
I don't put it in that category because it wasn't, like, twitch heavy. I think part of it is level memorization. If you play a level enough times, you just know where all the enemies are and where all the secrets are. And two, I think it was just because we had that point where we knew where the warp pipes were. We knew where the hidden one-ups were, that kind of stuff. We knew where the secret passages were. Versus now, it's just been so long that we could possibly just look them up online and be like, oh, right, I remember that. Or it's just us experimenting, but when we have so many other games to play, going back and playing a game from, like,
1988.
And going back and playing a game from 88 that is kind of mediocre at best isn't the same as, say, oh, let's go back and play Super Mario 2, or let's go back and play Super Mario 3, or let's go back and play Super Mario World, or any of the other really good Mario games. You know, it's one of those things that when I was playing Mario Land 2 and just kind of testing it out a little bit, I was like, oh, right, this game plays like a Mario game and feels like a Mario game, and if I wanted to take the time to play through this, I'd probably really enjoy it. But, you know, I just don't care enough. It is a nostalgic part from my life, but I'd rather go back and play, like, Mega Man 3 or Mega Man 4. I mean, just for comparison's sake.
Oh, by the way, if you want to see how bad early games are with difficulty and stuff like that, go do yourself a favor and go play Mega Man 1 for the Game Boy.
I rented that when I was a kid. I remember I got through a couple of the stages. But
no, like, go through it. That game is insane.
The other game I remember renting and got fairly far in, and then when I replayed it, I'm like, this game is a piece of crap. I can't even beat the first level. Is Castlevania the Adventure. Oh my God, is that game terrible? It is bad. Like, I remember renting it and going, like, I kind of enjoyed it. I got, like, through the first 2-3 levels of it. I'm replaying it. I'm like, how did I do that? This game is so poorly designed. Not only does your character jump for crap, not only are, like, a lot of the candles almost impossible to hit, but there's a lot of parts that just have infinitely respawning enemies, and you're like, how am I supposed to get out of this room? Every 3 steps, I'm getting swarmed by 3 new enemies that just appeared out of nowhere.
I should let you know, too, that game was another early Game Boy release. That was also a launch as well.
Yeah, that game is terrible.
And you can clearly tell, like, that's a game where it's like, it's... Jesus Christ, whoever developed that, whoever made those games just really hated everybody. Really hated their market.
Yeah.
Soda's own. Rocky by Soda.
And then you can go to, like, the end of Game Boy, and even into the Game Boy Color games, you know, and just be like, oh my God, it's amazing what they can do with this handheld system.
And I think it helps too, like, a lot of the Game Boy games that were being released that played the Game Boy Color games,
mm-hmm.
that they were releasing, were, like, late release on regular Game Boy games.
Yeah, and then they just added upgraded the color palette and stuff like that.
Yeah, because, like, for example, one of the games that they released was Mario Land. Whoa, that is a lot of snow.
Wait, there's a Mario Land Game Boy Color version?
No, there's Game Boy, there's Mario World, they did Super Mario Brothers.
I thought the first one was Link to the Past and Link to the X.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first games they released was, if I remember correctly, was Link to the Past DX and Tetris DX. Guess which one was the better of the two.
Well, everyone loves Link to the Past DX.
Oh,
I mean, not Link to the Past. Link's Awakening DX.
Link's Awakening.
Yeah.
Link's Awakening DX was the clear one, and apparently, like the Tetris DX not that good.
How do you mess up Tetris? Seriously.
You'd be surprised. By not having the same music as the last game.
I like the old Game Boy Tetris music.
They took that all out.
Oh.
But I think that one was one where they did it from the ground up, though. That was the thing. The thing with Tetris DX is that was ground up.
Okay.
But, yeah. But a lot of the early, like the one I was talking about was Wario Land 2. Wario Land 2 was supposed to be a Game Boy, was supposed to be a regular Game Boy game. Before it got converted to a Game Boy Color game.
Yeah, I never played any of the Wario Land games.
Wario Land 1's like one of my favorite games of all time, in my opinion. Like, it's like, I remember like I got it once and I was like, oh, it's a Wario Land. I didn't ask for this, but okay. But then just one day I started playing because like it was just there.
Mm-hmm.
I fell in love with the game. I truly fell in love with that game. I do say it still was one of my favorite Game Boy games of all time. Like if you thought Mario Land 2 was defined, go play Wario Land. My God, that game is beautiful in terms of like how they play the game and how they polish the game.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought it looked kind of cool, with, like, how he got the different hats and stuff like that, because I saw some stuff in, like, a Nintendo Power magazine or something like that, but I guess at that point maybe I just wasn't playing as much Game Boy, or I just didn't have interest in playing a Wario-themed game. I don't really know.
Yeah, that's just how I felt too. I was like, I didn't want this game, but okay. Because I think at the time I wanted more Kirby's Adventure. I wanted more Kirby's Dream Land.
I loved Dream Land. I never played Dream Land 2, but I loved Dream Land 1.
Dream Land 2 is amazing.
That's what I've heard. I've just never had the chance to play it.
But yeah, Dream Land 2 is great. But I wanted that one. But my mom got me both Dream Land 1 and Wario Land. And I was like, oh, yay, I got the Kirby. And then I was like, wait a minute, what's this game? Okay, then one.
Yeah.
And I just started playing it, and it's like, I don't regret it. I don't regret it one bit. I appreciate it. I love how I remember how I got it, too. My mom actually stuffed in all these socks and into my into a box and hid it inside the box where the games.
Huh. I like always like creative gift giving like that.
So I was like, because like at the time it was all closed at that year for me. I was like, I didn't get anything either for my birthday either. So I was like, okay, let's see what she can surprise me with. And then I got all these socks. I'm like, great socks. Wait a minute, what's this one? What's this underneath right here?
I really never really owned a Game Boy until the Game Boy Advance. I mean, I did play the Pokemon Red and Blue series, but that's because, you know, I had people that owned a Game Boy before.
Yeah, Blue was a gift to me from my friend Robbie. Because he was like, you know, you've always wanted to get into this. Why haven't you picked up a copy? And I'm like, I don't know. I guess I just don't know which one to go for. And, you know, Yellow, I think, supposed to just about to come out. It's like, Yellow is already out, dude. I bought a copy of Yellow for myself. And, oh, by the way, here's a copy of Blue. I'm like, oh, thanks. He's like, yeah, happy birthday. I'm like, oh, thank you, Robbie. That was very nice of you.
My memory is with Pokemon. Like, everything I remember I had to work like a million odd jobs around the house to get the original one. I got red. Every one of my friends had blue, and I was like, I'm getting red.
Just having a friend remove the version choice for me was kind of nice, honestly, because then I don't have to sit there going like, oh wait, what are the differences or any of that kind of stuff. It's just like, here you go. And I'm like, oh, thanks. And I think I kind of feel that way in general for Pokemon games at this point. Like, with Ruby, I got that because I told my brother, I'm like, hey, you're gonna pick up the new Pokemon, right? He's like, yep. I'm like, just give me whatever the opposite color of whatever you choose, is literally what I told him. So I could have gotten either color. It just came down to whatever was the opposite of my brother's choice. And I kind of like just not having to make a choice, just have someone choose for me. It just makes life easier.
Yeah.
It always annoys me if games, and I hated that whole time period where they had that, where it's just like, hey, there's two different versions of this game, and I'm like, ah.
What the fuck am I reading?
Even when I was looking over the Shaman King games, one of the Shaman King games has two different versions, and I'm like, I don't know, and I don't want to look it up, and I don't remember any of the character names. God, I can't believe they had this for Shaman King. Shaman King's not even popular enough to warrant having two versions.
Did that guy just give a Bane monologue to you?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I like the dialogue, and he's like, you think DLC's your ally? You think you're almost murdered by it? I'm like, oh my god, really? Anyways, yeah, and that's the thing with Pokemon for me. It's like, I usually go with whatever else, what everybody else is buying, so I go with the opposite of what everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, so everybody's buying this one, fine, I'll buy this one. And that was usually my way of doing it. Or if something was uneven and one person was not going to get one in particular, mm-hmm. I didn't feel that's why we just have like an even amount of who has what.
I think it was set up because between me, Robbie, and David had red, and then Robbie picked up yellow. And so I think by default I was blue. I think that's how it actually turned out. I got it because David had chosen red. And had Robbie chosen blue, I would have gotten yellow. So, you know, I guess that's kind of how it was going. And I'm like, oh good, I begin with a Pikachu. Huzzah.
But you get all three.
That's true, you get all three starters, which is kind of cooler. Because then I can just put my Pikachu away and then just walk around with the Squirtle. Be like, Squirtle, let's do this!
You couldn't really walk around with any other
Pokemon. I know, only Pikachu followed you. That was an advancement I actually liked in Heart Gold, where your Pokemon would always follow you, so it was kind of fun seeing the silly walks they had for some of them. Or the awesomeness of just having a dragon follow you around. It's my pet dragon. What you gonna do to me? I'm 10 years old and I have a pet dragon. I'm awesome.
Or, you know, a god and all that.
Oh, that's right, a god.
Yes, that's true. You can have God following you around.
Okay, well, answer me this question. Mm-hmm. Why is it called pocket monsters when clearly the monsters are the size of, like, you know, skyscrapers sometimes?
Because you can fit them in...
Fit them in your pocket.
I like how we all answered at the same time. Miguel, you answer properly, or Becky, either of you.
Because it's a game... It's because it's monsters that shrink down to the size of a pocket and a ball. That's why.
Yeah, because your Pokeball could fit in your pocket. And not to mention the whole thing that it's a handheld game.
Yeah. Which has an awesome, like, development story. If anyone's ever interested, you can find that story online. It's actually kind of a cool story how the Game Freak team came up with Pokemon and everything.
Yeah.
Have a big sword.
I kind of miss some of those old Game Boy games. Maybe I'll have to use the closeout for Club Nintendo and get a handful of... Just focus on exclusively on old Game Boy games. I'll have to look at that list again and see what else is on that list. I'll grab myself some old Game Boy games, rock me some old Game Boy.
So, yeah. That's pretty much the game, guys.
Unless there's an after mode.
Always continue to collect stuff that was a collectible, but that's pretty much the game, you guys.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Beat that in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
That ending. There you go.
Yeah. $2.99 on Steam, fellas, so if you want to, you know, kill $3
and kill your...
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, since you've wrapped up the game, I'll wrap up the show and we can move on to the after stream. You can find everything else about this show and about a bunch of our other podcasts and articles on scarlet-rhapsody.com. You can check out our Secret Stage Facebook at Secret Stage Games. You can find us on the Twitter at SR_Secret Stage. And, of course, if you're not watching us on Twitch, you should totally check us out on Twitch. We can be found twitch.tv/secretstage. We are everywhere, folks. You will submit and join us. Because we get cool rants about comic books on our Saturday stream.
Yeah.
And Star Wars.
And me screaming about Clay Fighter. Oh my fucking god.
Well,
yeah.
Well, we're... Wait.
Yeah.
We have a Clay Fighter person in the room?
Yes.
You liked Clay Fighter.
Yes.
What?
Oh god, we're going to say that in a follow-up episode. Already at our time limit.
Anyways.
Who likes Clay Fighter? Really? Really? Please say like an ironic
show.
Okay, I'm closing up the show. Until next time, this is Jared for Ramses, Miguel, and Background Becky saying game over and winners don't use drugs.
And remember, okay, everyone, it's a secret to everybody.